All right, so we're saying we're just going to keep it stationed?
Yeah.
Okay. Are we ready?
Yes.
Just checking a couple things. Do you, Emily, try yours?
Testing, 1, 2, 3. Hello.
Tasting, tasting. 1, 2, 1, 2. Uno, dos, tres. Whoa. Okay. As we begin the message today, I want to invite you to bow with me in a time of prayer. Bow with me. Amen. So here's the verse that I'm going off of in 2 Peter 1. And it says this: I think it's right to refresh your memory as long as I live in the tent of this body, because I know that I will soon put it aside, as our Lord Jesus Christ has made clear to me. Let's run with that image of tent. This tent that you and I have, this body that we have, this temporary housing that we have. Well, have I ever told you I was a Boy Scout? I was a Boy Scout. I was a big-time Boy Scout. Loved it. And there was a year that we went to summer camp. Now, the town that I was from, the Boy Scout troop did not have much money, and we used old tents. We used outdated tents. They were just so difficult to work with if you didn't know what you were doing. But once you got the hang of them, they were really fun. Well, there was a day in summer camp later in the week when we broke into our patrols, our small groups, and we went around from station to station to station in a competition. And in this competition, one station would be first aid, and the next station would be knot tying, and the third station would be fire starting, and and just all of these stations. But there was one station that was tent pitching. How fast could your patrol coordinate and put up a tent? And in order to make it really, really difficult, the leadership used and old, outdated, obscure model of tent. Yeah, it was the same one that we used all the time. So we watched. We came up on another patrol that was putting this together, and they could not figure it out. It was inside, outside, upside down, extra stakes here. Yeah, it was just so difficult for them. And meanwhile, we were standing on the sidelines saying, okay, you take this. Stake, 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 stake. Ready? Are we good? Okay, everybody had their part. They started the stop clock, the stopwatch. Click, phew, 7 seconds. We had that tent up in 7 seconds. And has always been this lesson for me that says, there are times when you and I live in our own tents. Sometimes that tent is this body. Sometimes the tent is the church in which we live, or the community. What is it? What is the temporary housing that we are in, and how do we make the most of that? You know what? Sometimes the tents in which we live are old, outdated, and obscure. But we make the best of them anyway. God has given us these tools to work with. Let's work with these tools. And the day will come when we will take off this tent. The day will come when our church will change. The day will come when our community will change. The day will come when my body will change, your body will change, and we will change. I love it that in the Gospel according to John, in the first chapter, the beginning words say this: in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. And then in the 14th verse are these words. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Here's what you don't know about that verse. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. It's one of the only places in the Bible that this verb is used, and the word literally means he became flesh and pitched his tent in our midst. It's not just that this body is our tent. Jesus Christ came and pitched his tent right in the middle of us. We live in God's tent. We live in Christ's tent. This body is not my tent. It's the tent that God gave me. This church is Jesus Christ's tent, the place that we have been given through Christ. Well, let's talk about what it means to live inside of this tent. And I want to do this in a really, really special way. For those of you who haven't met her, this is Emily Sheldon Redinghouse. And 4 years ago, Emily was our Elisha intern. Now, for those of you who are watching and listening around the world and around the nation, in the Dakotas Conference, we use Elisha interns. Elisha was the prophet who was mentored by Elijah. The Elisha interns are those college students that come out into local churches and are mentored by local pastors and local congregations in order to explore, do I want to fully enter ministry? Emily was one of those interns. And then she graduated from Black Hills State University and went on right away with her husband, Alex. They both went for their master's degrees in Chicago. Emily's degree was at Garrett Evangelical, the School of Theology there, which is a United Methodist seminary. It takes 3 years for her to complete the coursework, to do the internships, and to work through all of the hoops that have to be jumped through in order to become a United Methodist pastor. So today, I get to ask Emily about what does it mean to live in this tent. So, all right, Emily, are you ready? Here we go. Here
I'm
we go.
Ready.
You have been living in this tent that is all about working your way through college and then in and through seminary. Would you simply tell us what have these last 3 and 4 and 5 years been like living in your tent?
It has been a crazy transformation. Coming from Montana to college, I thought was a really big jump, a really big move. And then when Alex and I graduated and we both decided to pursue with our master's degrees, and Alex said, yes, I'll move with you and you can attend seminary. My gosh, were we a fish out of water? Chicago is a thriving city, huge metropolitan area. Coming from small towns, this was a huge mansion of a tent that we were entering, and it was fresh and it felt new. And as the years went on, it just started to become worn a little bit, and it was tiresome. And education in itself is very different. In seminary, you have very specific courses that you're taking. Your internships are very narrow to what you're interested in. And I actually had an opportunity for one of my internships to be a chaplain for a year. And that was a tent that I was not prepared for, but I learned so much from that experience, and the knowledge that I gained, I feel so confident being able to take that with me as I pursue my appointment and as I've graduated. This tent is worn, and there's holes in it, and you know, we've had the weather that's just beaten us down, and we've cried, and we've not gotten good sleep, and it feels like at times we wouldn't make it through, but we survived, and I think we actually thrived in ways that we were not anticipating before. And I would say that our tent held us down and we survived, and it's just hard to believe that 3 years have already come and gone.
So now, as you listen to the tent that Emily is describing, and it's amazing to me to say in 1 month she will be in a new place, a new town, in a new church, and her name will quit being Emily, and it will now become Pastor Emily. And that, doesn't that feel weird?
It does.
It does. It does. So, and I want to remind you, the point of this is not simply for you to know about Emily, but to know more deeply about this church and your life. The object of this church is not to keep people here. The object of our congregation is to train people, to lift them, and to send them out. Sometimes we send you out to your job down the street. Sometimes we send you out to your family across the nation. Sometimes we send and send and send. That's the whole point, and that's what I want you to hear. So now, Emily, second question. Next month, you are going to be moving to Cody, Wyoming, where you have been appointed as the pastor in that United Methodist congregation. And what this means is that that worn-out tent that you have been living in, you are now going to step into a brand new tent, and it's going to look shiny, but the fact of the matter is that you are a brand new, inexperienced pastor stepping into a world of COVID pandemic, into culture changes that we have never seen before, a brand new tent. Would you tell us about the tent that you think that you're going to be living in the months and the years and literally the decades to come?
Yeah. As I was preparing to graduate, COVID was very large in Chicago, and that topic came up frequently in classes of how are we going to transition to our appointments and to our jobs and life after seminary when COVID is so rampant in a lot of places. And a lot of things have changed as far as personal dynamics and, you know, culturally things are really different. And I was anticipating coming to Wyoming and saying, oh, I know Wyoming, I'm from Montana, and nothing's really changed. I know what I'm getting myself into. And come to the fact that a lot of things are different. They're not meeting face-to-face still, even in Wyoming, where the population in Cody is just a little bit under Spearfish. They've only had 2 cases that I'm aware of in the city of Cody. But the drastic changes that have impacted that community where they're not meeting face-to-face, a lot of businesses are still closed and impacted. While the tent on the outside may appear shiny and new and untainted, really, there's a lot of things that are undiscovered going on. There's a lot of new things that are happening and shaping the community. And my role as a pastor coming into this community is going to be learning ways of figuring out that tent, you know, getting past the newness of it and putting my feet on the ground and just kind of diving in head first with the community. And that's one of the things that I'm really appreciative of, is knowing that I'm not going into this appointment, you know, with rose-colored glasses on, and that this church is going to be having all these expectations of me. They're going to be having a new set of expectations of, okay, what can we do collectively during this time? It's not just, oh, is she a good preacher? Does she do Bible classes? You know, will she help with the youth group? It's what are the innovative things that she can do with us during this time as we're still trying to figure out how to be church during a pandemic? Because this is something none of us have experienced before. So I feel like we're all embodying this newness of exploration and trying to wrestle with what are we going to look like as a church down the road. And so for me, there's a lot of nervousness and a lot of fear, but also a lot of joy of saying, I'm not alone in this. There are pastors everywhere, and my congregation and congregations everywhere are dealing with this together. And that gives me hope of knowing this isn't going to just be on me.
Now, again, as you're listening to Emily, I don't want you to hear just Emily's answer for Emily. I want to be asking the same question of you. How is it that your tent has changed? Because the fact is, we're not going back to the old tent. As churches, as communities, as businesses, we have been evicted from the old tent. And a lot of the things that we are doing now, we're not looking backwards. We're looking forward to say, oh my gosh, you mean we could do this in different, innovative ways that are even better? How do we do that? So the question is also, how do you do that in your life? I love it that Dr. Seuss once said, "Do not cry because it's gone. Laugh because it happened." And this is the invitation that we have. So, all right, here is the third question. And this is a huge question. You and I do not just live in one tent. We live in a huge tent, a big tent that is our church, our United Methodist denomination, each of our congregations that we serve. We live in the big tent that is the state of South Dakota, the state of Wyoming. We live in these big tents that are amazing. And the challenges that we have facing, that we are facing as states, as nations, as a globe, as humanity are huge. What do you see then as this new tent that we are going to be living in as humanity?
I think one of the first things that comes to mind is recognizing what are those systemic issues that we have been carrying with us in our tents? What are those innate natures within us that we are carrying that during this pandemic have really arose to the perspective and like to where we can recognize it? And so I'm hoping that we're able to really focus on racism. I hope we're able to focus on xenophobia and heterosexism. I hope that these are things that this pandemic, when and if it ends, things are not going to be the same, and we can acknowledge that. But what are those things that we don't want to bring with us? What are those things that we should leave with the old tent? And those are those things that we need to leave behind, and we need to pick up compassion, hospitality. What does it mean to actually put your feet on the ground and to be the hands and feet of Christ in new and innovative ways? And it's letting go of those things that are just really deeply a part of our culture. And we've seen it with, you know, the hoarding of products, and we've seen it with, you know, our Asian brothers and sisters on how they're being treated because of where COVID originated. And it just, things are really snowballing. And so for us to take a moment and to acknowledge these are the things we need to leave behind with the old tent. And it's going to take time. I know I don't want to be too idealistic to where everything is going to just change and we're going to be innovative and it's going to work out great the first time. It's going to take patience, and it's going to take a lot of commitment, and it's going to take involvement of everyone realizing that we're in this together, that compassion is not just an individualistic identity. It's a community-based identity. To be hospitable and to be sharing and to be loving and grace-filled is not just individualistic. It is very much a collective identity. So we as a church, as a people of South Dakota, of Wyoming, as a people of this world is a tent. It's, you know, we're meant to care for it. How do we then take up the mantle of compassion and grace and to be justice-oriented and to strive to make this tent thrive, even just temporarily? There's a lot to consider, really, and I wish I had all the answers, but all I know is that it just takes time. And I know Spearfish is a great church that's built on community and that's built on compassion. So I hope you will continue to do that and find new and bold ways to live that out. And I hope that I can do the same for Cody, and I hope that for everyone around the world and everyone impacted by this can do the same.
Emily, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah, compassion is all about community. And that community is as small as your nuclear family, and it is as large as the family of the entire globe. This is compassion in community. May it be this week that you begin to look and ask the question, what is the tent that you are living in? What is the new tent that you're going to be living in? And what do you think is the tent that we're all going to be living in? May it be in Christ's name. Amen. All right, my friends, bow with me, and we're going to pray. And I want to even invite you, even as you're watching the screen, just to lift a hand in blessing, because we get to bless Emily today. Let's pray. Gracious God, I want to give you thanks for the ways that you have given us our tents, the tent that is our body, the tent that is our church, our community. Lord, we give you thanks for the tents that we are in, knowing that we're going to have to take off the tent sometime. And so for right now, we pray that you would lead us as a community in compassion, that you would fill these tents with love and care. Gracious God, I lift up Emily today. And as she and Alex prepare for this new adventure, as they prepare to set up house in Wyoming, that you would guide and bless not just them, but their families, this brand new church that they're going to, Lord, the community that is about to become home for them. Lord, we ask your blessing, all of it, in Christ's name. Amen. Amen.